Oh.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker a mile above sea level at Podbay 2A in Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus. We melt your brains, all that good stuff. You know the story. This is Michael Dean. I'm talking to MK Lords and Hugo Gonzalez, correct, sir? Is that your name?
Correct.
All right. Yes. And I found this guy at the Home Depot. I don't know his name. Okay. That's racist. All right. So this is Mr. Michael Dean. And so MK, how are you? Everybody chime in real quick. What's up, MK?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. It's a good Monday.
Yeah.
So actually Tuesday, going into Tuesday for me. So doing great.
So Hugo, how you doing, Hugo?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And I'm a little tired from work, but spring is upon us here in Mexico. So
What do you do there in work?
I'm a coder and a systems administrator. I do computers.
You do computers. Do computers do you? Do they do you?
They do when they like me. Yeah.
Do you dream in code?
Sometimes I do. Those are the worst nights. But yeah.
Yeah. So Hugo's the newest Freedom Fiends co-host. We've been adding them and subtracting them and pretty much ended up with the same number here. But Hugo's tell us about your podcast and what it's called and what it is and what language it's in.
I've been producing a podcast for about 2 years now, and it's called Radio Barra Libre, which translates loosely to open bar radio here in Mexico. Not that loosely, it's actually quite literal. And I talk about liberty, and sometimes it's more fiend-like, sometimes it's more academic, but at any rate, it's all liberty all the time, too.
Yeah, and I've heard it described as like the Spanish language freedom fiend, sort of.
Yeah, it is. It is that way many times. And actually, Michael, I'm a bit jealous because I don't have a wrestling name yet, and you guys can think about
it. Well, I like Mexican wrestling. I've actually been to some of those events in Los Angeles. Have you ever been to any, MK?
I went to a couple in Pensacola.
Did you did you ever spin fire at them?
No, I did not. This was way before I spun fire. I was a kid, just watched like, I don't know, it was like WWF or something like that. It wasn't real wrestling. It was like TV wrestling.
That's what Mexican wrestling is pretty much.
It's very popular here in Mexico.
What's the name? What's the name of it? What do they call it?
Lucha Libre.
Yeah, that's it.
Lucha Libre. Yeah. Lucha Libre. I'll say it pronounceable in English. So yeah, Lucha Libre.
How do you say it? And how's the correct pronunciation?
Well, Lucha Libre.
Yes.
But that's, yeah.
It's just fancy. The same. It sounds a little fancier than we'd say it, I think. Yeah. So, are you going to have a Lucha Libre wrestling name on the Freedom Fiends?
I could design a mask that's black and yellow, maybe.
There you go. What kind of, give us some examples of some names. I can't remember any of the names from the ones I went to. They're very colorful.
Some of them come from some folklore and legend. It's Atlantis is one. One guy and Blue Panther and King Mystery, you know, those kind of cheesy names they got. So it could be the masked something.
I think it should be something that references the idea of no kings or the king of no kings or something like that. What do you think of that? Something anarchist, but you know, something that's against the idea of being ruled, but still has that kind of festive flavor, you know?
Sometimes I use in my podcast, I present myself as the king of anarchists, which is a joke.
Well, I say that
anarchists have no king.
I say that something similar. I say that when the aliens on Alpha Centauri hear the first Freedom Fiends radio show from about 2 years ago, it takes 4.3 light years to get there. And it's the closest possible habitable planet is in the Alpha Centauri region, 4.3 light years away. So when they hear the first Freedom Fiends episodes from a couple of years ago in 2.5 years, they're going to say, wow, we've been monitoring this planet for 100 years. And we finally, there's some intelligent life there. And they're going to come down here and give me their advanced technology that blocks the government from the state from having any effect on me. And I will become the libertarian emperor of the world and decide who gets the protection of this software or this, this technology, whatever it is.
Yeah. Probably when they come to make you the offer, you tell them to leave you alone.
Leave me alone. I don't want this kingdom. That's how they'll know I'm the true king of the anarchists is they offer me the world and I say, go away, get off my property.
It's an awkward take me to your leader moment.
It kind of is. For anybody that's tuning in for the first time and wondering what we're talking about, you know, usually you have these people on these stations, the same, you know, before and after the show, who are talking about, we want smaller government. Well, we're just like that taken to the natural extension of, like, you know, the right wingers say they want government so small they can drown it in a bathtub. And they generally really don't want that. They just say that when they're running for office. But we want government so small that it's only theorized about by particle physicists. That's our theory.
Mm-hmm. It's a tiny government, man.
That is so tiny. It's so tiny that you could fit a million of them on a head, a million of those governments on the head of a pin.
No, Michael. Yes. Talking about jokes about Mexican people. I watched the Oscars last night.
I thought you were going to say you watched the DVD extras of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, where Nima Vidadi is sitting at my computer working on the film. We were taking turns editing it, and I came in with a video camera, and I was filming him, and he put on a faux Mexican-American accent or a Mexican accent and was talking about how I hired him in front of the Home Depot to edit my film for $5. And I said, $5 an hour? And he said, no, $5 for the whole film.
Total for the whole film.
Yep, for the whole film. And I said, does he put your name on? And he says, no, his name.
I didn't watch that part. Mm-hmm. I liked Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got me pretty excited.
Yeah, I was going to do a whole series of those, but I don't know. I didn't make enough money on it to because I'll do anything for free, but with other things I have to pay people, you know. So I didn't make enough money on that to pay anybody to do a sequel to it, and basically because I bootlegged myself. Like, we put it out and sold the DVDs, but we also immediately, like the day it came out, I put it up on BitTorrant.
So yeah, that's how I got it.
Yeah, I'm
that's
sure.
how I got it. It would be really unwise to have it shipped here.
Yeah,
Mexico.
The police would bother you.
I don't know. I would open myself to harassment, probably.
That's bizarre to me. I mean, you can order anything here. I mean, people still get harassed, but you know, I know a dozen people that have ordered that on Amazon, and I know all 12 people that bought a copy of that. And no, it was more than that. It sold about 500 copies, but we sold them pretty cheap. But yeah, you don't get in trouble for that kind of stuff here very often. It's weird though, because you can. Yeah. I mean, like, a place people get in trouble a lot is posting things on Facebook. You know, like, I can go on the radio on 35 stations and say stuff that if I posted it on Facebook and the wrong person saw it and alerted somebody, like, the police would knock on my door and talk to me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they do have a report function. Yeah, it can extend to that far.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trusting on slave-on-slave violence for that.
Slave-on-slave violence.
Report the weird guy that's talking about guns and liberty.
Who came up with that? Is that a Nima Vidadi line, slave-on-slave violence?
It's pretty common, but probably he said it before.
Yeah. Maybe he probably said it once. He came up with "Don't drone me, bro." I know that, but we'll talk about the Oscars, but not yet. Let's talk a little more. Let's get to know Hugo a little bit more. You got any questions, MK, for Hugo?
Yeah, we kind of briefly touched on this the last time you talked, but I kind of wanted to know more about some of the market activity in Mexico. I was listening to this back when I listened to NPR. This would have been years ago. They were doing a story on gray market activity and black market activity and how much of a problem it was becoming because such a large part of the economy was built by that.
It's not a problem.
Black market, gray market activity. Well, that's the thing. Like, they were trying to paint it as if it was a problem. And it they were trying so hard NPR because they were so literally statist. Saying things. It was, and it wasn't even like they weren't even talking about the drugs or anything like that. They were like, people are like making baskets and selling fruit and clothing. Like they were trying so hard to demonize just like stuff you would see at a farmer's market or something.
That's
square. So yeah, I'm curious to know more about that side of things. Cause I mean, it was just so bizarre. Like how they couldn't even make it sound bad, you know, as hard as they were trying.
They were fishing for some dangerous, weird activity, like, you know, roadside fruit selling that could end civilization. So right. Yeah, that's pretty common here. And, I don't know. Sometimes I reluctantly support people who say the laws should get better. Because I see that the laws are pretty bad here, but there are ways to go around the laws, and not all the time. It's not always bribes. Sometimes they are just not looking, and they're so onerous that they cannot possibly be enforced. So sometimes, let's say building permits, people are building here all the time. Next to where I live, it's you're supposed to have a lot of a large lot into which to build your house because it's in the mountains. But nobody does that. People get their lot and build their houses. Sometimes if there's an inspector that comes, they will accept a small bribe and go away. So that's building, and people sell food. People sell food on the streets, and that's pretty much, you know, it's theoretically illegal, but a lot of people do it. The problem is that sometimes the police come and get bribes, but that's way better than enforcing the laws. That's the way I see it.
Where do people kind of go for protection? Because you mentioned also last time that people don't tend to trust the police much at all.
Well, actually, it's pretty peaceful here. And it's been said before, and it's true, Mexico, at least these parts, the capital city and most of Mexico is pretty peaceful.
What about all the stuff that we see on the news of, like, you know, 12 human heads being rolled down in the city square?
Yeah, it's true, but we don't live there, and it's mostly gang-on-gang violence, so as much as it is regrettable, it is pretty rare. I will probably never encountered those guys.
Cool. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
This is The Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from a windowless bunker.
Y esta noche en Locos por la Libertad.
What? What's happening?
Los Ángeles, la entrega de los Oscars esta noche tuvo un giro político en el último instante, cuando el mexicano Alejandro González Iñárritu, cuya película Birdman ganó 4 premios, abogó porque en México podamos encontrar y tener el gobierno que nos merecemos.
They took our jobs. Someone's coming here to take our radio jobs, man. All right, that was
I worked for much less.
No, actually, I doubt you could work for much less than nobody on the Fiends gets paid except me because I work 40 hours a week on it, and I make like illegal immigrant wages. I make like less than $1 an hour. Do everything I do 40 hours a week on the show. Now maybe, let's see. So I make about $200 a month doing this show. So yeah, I make pennies.
You can pay yourself less than minimum wage, right?
I think so. I don't know. They're probably going to make that illegal too. But I don't know. So you want to talk about the Oscars, which is kind of interesting to me because MK, did you know that the Oscars happened? I didn't even know until he mentioned it.
I actually didn't know. I didn't know.
I saw my wife looking at people on a red carpet last night on her computer laughing at zany people in dresses, and I didn't know why. I figured it was just some fashion site, but she told me today it was because of the Oscars. But you know, here's like last night, the gay guy that we have on this state on this show was on, and I don't think he even talked about the Oscars. So that's really
don't stereotype, bro.
I'm making fun of you for liking the Oscars, but you have a good political agenda here. So what? Tell me about the Oscars.
So the thing here was it was big here in Mexico. The
hipsters
Oscars
like it, huh?
Yeah. And but both last year and this year it was big because there were two very important directors who were Mexican. It was the guy that won last year was the guy for best movie for Gravity, and the guy who won this year. Both are Mexicans, and
are they from Mexico or American?
Yeah, they are from Mexico, and they grew up in Mexico.
See, they're coming to steal our jobs in Hollywood too.
Yeah, that was the joke. I'm amazed you haven't heard this from anything of this. Sean Penn made a joke right before he delivered the Oscar to Alejandro González Iñárritu, who was the winner for best movie. He said, "Who gave this SOB a green card?" And then he delivered the Oscar to the director. No. It was a friendly joke, but there's a lot of upset people here in Mexico for that joke.
Crazy people. He's a
yeah, crazy.
He wants Hugo Chavez to like rise from the grave and be the president of America. He's a friend.
Yeah,
of
he's basically a commie
of the socialist Central American and South American countries for sure, man. He's horrible. I didn't know that he's made that joke, but people used to say I looked like him when I was younger, and people say I still sound like his character Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Like, I sound like a stone surfer, and I haven't done drugs in 20 years, and I don't surf, but I think I kind of sound like Spicoli. So, yeah.
You know, he's got some stinky feet right there.
Yeah, he's a socialist.
Champagne. Yeah.
He's a liar. Didn't he wasn't he friends with Castro, too? Didn't he go to Cuba or something and, like, drink booze and go find prostitutes?
He beat up Madonna.
Yeah. You know what's interesting too? Like, he's a really good example of why gun permit laws are really silly. Because, okay, first of all, he got a gun permit in Marin County, California, which is like you have to be somebody or bribe a judge or be a movie star or be a millionaire to get a permit there. It's really difficult. But he also got a permit there after having drug charges and having been arrested for spousal abuse. Like, nobody. No normal person could get like you couldn't get that permit. That person couldn't get a permit, you know, in Wyoming, where like they practically give permits away at the Walmart. They're so easy to get.
Like, those are the people that they don't want to have the guns when they argue against people having guns.
Right. Right. Like, that's all the liberals say, like, well, if anybody can get a gun, then, like, you know, wife beaters will get guns. But then those are the same people that love Sean Penn and everything that comes out of his mouth. And he got a gun permit. And in California, in most normal places like Wyoming, like, a gun permit, you know, you get a gun permit, you can carry any gun. It's not tied to a particular gun. In California, gun permits are tied to the particular serial number of one gun. Like, you have to present the gun to the police and have them inspect it and write down the serial number when you get the permit. And he had the permit for his one gun, and he got his gun stolen. He left it in his car, like, the first or second day he had it. And somebody broke into his car and stole it. And then he got another. They could give him another permit right away. So we'll be back and talk about the Oscars. I guess we were going to, but I got sidetracked. Freedom Fiends, all tangents, all the time.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
¡Miau! Y regresando a Freedom Fiends en español, todas las tangentes en todo tiempo, en todo momento, con ustedes Michael W. Dean y MK Lords.
I have no idea what you just said. I think I heard my name.
Your names.
Hola.
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 Hola. Me llamo Raul. All right, so Hugo wants to talk about the Oscars for some reason. I don't know. I didn't know there were Oscars this year. I don't know. That's my response is that thing's still around, but yeah. So talk about it. Talk about how the reaction in Mexico to the American presentation called the Oscars.
Well, it was a big thing, as I was saying before. And
Freedom Fiends button. I'm putting Freedom Fiends buttons in a package. I'm mailing out an order.
Okay. Go ahead. So we know what's... Yep. Yeah. So, it got pretty political because one of the directors who was competing there and who actually won the award, nominated and won the award is Mexican. And the one from last year also, the one with Gravity, was Mexican too. But people here are showing their nationalism. They're feeling really, really proud that a Mexican won it. Like they have
directed like they had something
the movie
to do
themselves.
With it. I know, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. They happen to be born in the same, generally the same dirt as that guy. And he actually did dedicate the award to all Mexicans. And and he said something which was pretty creepy for me. It's here. He said, "I pray that we can find and build the government that we deserve. And the ones that live in this country who are a part of the latest generation of immigrants in this country, I just pray that they can be treated with the same dignity and respect as the one who came before." And I'm all for dignity and respect, but the thing about the government that we deserve, I don't deserve any. I don't want any of that.
That's a punishment, you know, like getting the government you deserve. That sounds like a threat, you know.
I mean, that does, that sounds like there are like libertarian memes of like, wanted more government, got more government. And, you know, it's like there was one from Occupy Wall Street, and it was some dreadlocked hippie getting sprayed in the face by a cop with pepper spray, you know, and the arrow wants more government was pointing at the hippie, and more government was pointing at the cop.
Right. Yeah, I think everyone wants justice and freedom and, you know, all of these great things, but government isn't necessarily the way to go about ensuring those things.
Have you ever noticed that the more tyrannical a government is, the more the full actual name of the country sounds like really wonderful and peaceful? Like, you know, anything that has the Democratic Republic of in the name is probably run by a warlord who's like sleeping on piles of naked women and gold while his country is starving.
Right.
Yes.
The Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Congo. North Korea, Congo and North Korea come to mind for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's for sure. They're not democratic if they have that in the name. If you got to say it, it's probably not true.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, they have a Department of Happiness and Departments of Happiness in such government offices.
What? Who does?
Yeah, they do. Where? In Venezuela, they have the Department for Supreme Happiness. I don't know what they do.
Outlaw happiness, regulate happiness. No, probably like make sure that evenly distribute the happiness. That's it.
Yeah, and
make sure
force
everyone's
you,
evenly happy.
Force you to be happy at the point of a gun, probably.
Yeah.
Everyone's equally miserable.
So people take these awards and I keep going back to the Oscars. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the topic, man.
Yeah, people are bringing up all sort of political topics, and being Hollywood, there was one that I liked a lot. They were protesting how a lot of the American prisons are full of black people, and that was nice. But then there was a equal wage for the oppressed women and such things that are tricks and liberal tricks.
What did Patricia Arquette
do? A little bit
of
that. That was
what did Patricia Arquette do? Yeah, what did she do?
She got up on stage and protested that women were making much less than men, and the usual speech. And there was another very famous, very, I'm pretty sure, very well paid actress who got up and started, well, not chanting, but screaming right back at her, supporting her. So I was wondering if, I think, what was it, Glenn Close? It was a very famous actress. And I was wondering how much she makes, if she feels that she's making less than comparable actors in her profession. I'm pretty sure she doesn't, so.
You know what's kind of interesting about it, and Arquette talking about equality for women is the dark sheep of that family, Alexis Arquette, who is actually, I interviewed her in her home for my movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. She's a transgender. Do you know who she is?
I don't know her. Is she a trans woman? Mm-mm.
Yeah, she was born a man and she's a trans woman, and she played a gay hustler in the Hubert Selby movie Last Exit to Brooklyn. That's why she was in our movie. And I interviewed her at her house, and she is not the fluffy, wonderful Patricia Arquette. She's more like, I don't know, she seems like, at least the character she plays, seemed like someone who'd pull a switchblade on you and then, you know, rape you or something. I don't know. That's her character in Last Exit to Brooklyn. But yeah, she's pretty festive, I would say. I like her. She's cool. I've been to her house. It's fun. It's very decorated. It's decorated very festively. It kind of looks like, I don't know, like Mexican wrestling meets Day of the Dead or something. All right. So go on.
Well, that was it pretty much. I've had, being here in Mexico, I've had to endure all the congratulations, even the president, because actually when Alejandro González Iñárritu, the director, made that comment that sounded like he was criticizing the government, Mexican government. Even the president actually put out a tweet, and his political party, you know, saying, congratulating him and saying that he's building a better government. So that's how important it was. The president tweeted about it.
Well, you know, he couldn't.
Oh, dude, our president tweets about celebrity stuff.
Oh, like, yeah. He likes them.
And he loves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Michelle Obama was in a couple Oscar ceremonies ago.
I think the president of Mexico probably tweeted about it because he had, you know, he was probably a little embarrassed by it, like being kind of criticized. Yeah. But at the same time, he can not only, you know, get some points for tweeting in support of it. He can come out in a couple of weeks with a new, we need a whole bunch more money to build this new government that we plan, you know?
Yeah, we need a lot of new money to for more scholarships for filmmakers.
There you go.
For more, or stipends for filmmakers. And you know, those filmmakers fled Mexico because they made really bad movies here because they're all financed by the state.
Yeah, there's a lot of countries done that. Like America. You know, you can say whatever negative you want about Hollywood and all the politicking and all the infighting and all the ridiculous, I'm better than everyone else, and all the anti-gun, you know, like whenever actors open their mouths, they sound stupid. Whenever they try to have an opinion on something, like even someone who's kind of educated about like Bono from U2, they just really... they glom onto the worst ideas and kind of have these really like superficial views of them and then proudly beat their chest about it. But the American film industry is, you know, for a hundred, since the beginning of film, has been the leader in the world of film in the whole world. And there are a lot of countries have tried to play catch up and to catch up to it. And one example was like in England for a while, they had these, I forget what they were called. They were called like make work films or, you know, like, bureaucrat films or something ridiculous like that. It was like literally the British government passed a law in the 40s or 50s that said that like 25%, you know, they were sick of like every cinema in England having nothing but American films. So they said, you know, instead of getting out of the way and letting British filmmakers thrive on their own, they said that 25% of all films shown in British theaters had to be British films or the theaters would be shut down. They'd lose their license to show films. So all of a sudden,
oh, wow,
you had the government paying any filmmakers they could to make British films to meet this quota. They're called quota films. And they were some of the worst films ever made, although there were a lot of cameramen and directors who got their start in that and then went on to make great stuff. But, and I know that Canada and Australia have a requirement that any film, actually Canada has a requirement that anything made in Canada has to say made in Canada. And I mean, I even got some records for my band pressed in Canada once because it was cheaper in the '80s. And like they added on the artwork, like they printed on the covers, like, you know, 2 inches by 2 inches on the record, like made in Canada. And, but Canada and Australia have a lot of grants that they give to filmmakers to make films that kind of like show their country in a good light. Like there's a lot of documentaries made in Canada and in Australia that are co-financed by the government. Does Mexico do that?
Yeah, they do that. They do that, and they also give grants to filmmakers, and they usually do the same kind of bland movie about their lives in near the downtown and with their friends, and you know, just their own stories. They don't have any audience to please because they've already been paid. So whatever you subsidize, you get more of, and that's what. What happened here. I just gave up a couple of years ago. I gave up on Mexican cinema. So, yeah, I was beat up too hard. I said, I'm not going to give them another chance.
I saw a meme the other day about government intervention on things that I really liked. It said, if the tobacco tax is supposed to discourage smoking, is the income tax supposed to discourage working?
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah. It does seem to.
Yeah. I feel like I quit watching movies for a while. I mean, I haven't had a television for years now, but I kind of stopped watching movies because they just stopped appealing to me. Like the trailers just, I don't know if my taste changed or the trailers just got worse or what, but
They started getting bad when they stopped saying "in a world" in the trailers. That was the beginning of the end.
Should bring back that phrase.
In a world. We'll do it in Spanish when we come back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
en un mundo donde la libertad se ve amenazada permanentemente, los Freedom Fiends tomaban el poder.
They took our jobs. He's coming to take our jobs. He's coming to take our 5 cent an hour radio jobs. All right, so I do want to say that we are talking over a newer version of Fiend Phone that nobody in the world has except the three of us. Well, Randy England and Derek Slopey, who's the programmer. But yeah, and it doesn't sound any different. It just has more features, more better features. And tomorrow, Derek's adding more features, and then Davi and Randy and I will test that new version tomorrow night on the show. And probably Thursday, the world is going to see the best version of Fiend Phone ever. And it's also going to be under the BIPCOT no government license, which is also new. You can go to BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. So, yeah, man, what you got there about spoiler alerts, MK?
Well, I don't like to give spoiler alerts out there, but I am going to say I will be talking about Birdman here for just a little bit. I won't spoil much of it, but I highly recommend everyone see it.
But do you have any trigger warnings for it?
Any trigger warnings? Fantasy, superheroism, yeah.
And this is the movie that that Hugo was talking about, the director giving some speech, right? That's the movie?
That's true, then.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, the Mexican director.
Okay. Who's coming to steal our jobs in Hollywood. Yep.
Totally.
He stole the Oscar, man.
Yep. I got to say real quick before you say it, it's like, you know, I don't want to speak collectively for you guys because I'm not a collectivist, but my feeling is that borders should be non-existent, not even opened, but just non-existent. But that the problem isn't immigration. The problem is welfare. You know, the problem is giving things to people, whether they're from here or from somewhere else. When you open up to allow more people to come in and give everything away, you know, everyone has to pay for it who's already in that place. So, you know, the ethical thing to do, the logical thing to do would be to remove the welfare state completely, which would basically be removing the state, and then open all borders. But that's not going to happen tomorrow. So there are minarchists who say, well, I'd be into open borders as soon as they open the welfare state. But actually, the ethical thing, the only ethical thing you can come to the conclusion of is no, you know, you can't like wait for one thing to happen for another. So I can't say anything in favor of having walls between anything except on private property. And I don't consider a nation a private property. Do you guys agree with that?
I do completely. And I've heard people making the other case, you know, the case for closed borders.
Incremental.
Yeah. And both actually with some weird arguments about, you know, actually about saying if we protect private property, why shouldn't we protect our nation? And it's your nation, quote, your nation is not private property, does not belong to you. And I think what we have to do to analyze that is think of the individual. When a guy is crossing that line, you're not allowed to initiate violence against that person, push him, shove him, or threaten him to get him or her him or her back. So yeah, I agree.
And you know what's kind of funny too about politicians in America is, you know, of course politicians everywhere lie about everything they do, and one of the big things they lie is they love to say, you know, we're building American jobs. And, you know, really the way you build American jobs is get the heck out of the way. But, you know, no government can ever build a job. And if they do, somehow it's with stolen money. But so a lot of American politicians will actually on one hand be say they're in favor of, you know, closing immigration and putting up a fence and things. But those same politicians are the people that are passing laws that like basically ship jobs to Mexico, you know, and I have no problem with any global trade, you know, flowing freely across all borders with all governments out of the way. They should be out of the way. But you know, the same politicians who say that they're doing one thing, like do something that's counterintuitive to the other thing, and then like send everybody the bill for it all the time throughout perpetuity. They always promise everything away, and then everybody pays for it for 100 years. They're only in office 4 years. That's how it works. All elections are advanced auctions on stolen goods. That's the saying, and it's true.
Worms.
We're back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market. Worms.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Fiends in Español.
Fiends in Español. Taking your jobs.
Taking your job since 2014. All right, this is the Freedom Fiends talking to Hugo Gonzalez and MK Lords, and I am Michael W. Dean. And I got to hide this. I have this picture of Alexis Arquette. It just scared me. I just had this picture of Alexis Arquette. I wasn't expecting it again, and it just scared me. It's kind of frightful. She's good at what she does. It just... I wasn't expecting it. It kind of came up.
Oh, my God.
Jumped. Oh, you searched? You're looking at Wikipedia?
Yeah, I just looked
it
up.
Well, of course we're going to search it now.
Yeah. Yep. I've hung out with her. I've been to her house. Okay, so I know lots of interesting, strange, weird people. So we're talking about some concepts here on the Freedom Fiends that may be new and strange and frightening to listeners. But don't be afraid, because we don't want to harm you, listeners. We want to help you be more free. And, you know, some people don't want to be more free, and they run screaming from any mention of freedom.
But you can stretch those freedom muscles, right?
Do my free ups. Do some free ups.
Free ups, yeah.
Yeah, pre-ops, free ups. Sorry. Okay, so I wanted to talk about a concept I came up with, which is... you know, I feel like on radio, I even have to explain what these concepts mean before I tell the thing. So, small government, you know what that means. You know, everybody on the radio claims they're small government. And then there's small government libertarians that are probably more small government even than the claims of the neocons that you listen to all day during the daytime on talk radio. And then there's the concepts of ANCAPs, which is anarcho-capitalists, which are people that are so small government, they want government that can only be theorized about by particle physicists. So, and I'm pretty much an ANCAP. I used to be a right winger, and then I realized that it wasn't consistent philosophically, and it wasn't ethical, because the basic right wing idea is that you want small government, but you want big government for things you want. And really, if you're small government and you say things like, I don't like taxation, I don't want to be robbed at gunpoint. And actually, like, right-wingers talk like that now. They kind of talk like ANCAPs. But, you know, basically the idea is that taxation is theft. Nanny laws are, all nanny laws and all taxes are enforced at the barrel of a gun. So the theory is, I mean, the fact is, the way we look at it is that if you disobey a law, even if there's no crime and no victim, you know, the police will try to arrest you, and if you resist, they will point a gun at your head, and if you resist more, they will shoot you in the head or handcuff you, and regardless, they're going to take you to a cage. So they're going to either murder you or kidnap you, and every time someone says, there ought to be a law, basically what they're saying is, I want more police out there beating people up and arresting them and kidnapping them and throwing them in a cage. And anybody who's listening who's like, but I like the police, this is treason, how can you speak like this? What I'm saying is true. It's absolutely true. That whole thing, that whole progression of if you disobey a law, and if you say, you know, if you're a conservative and you say, well, but you should obey the law. If you're also a conservative who says, but I like my gun rights and the Second Amendment protects my gun, what are you going to say when some, you know, socialist like Nancy Pelosi, no, who's, what's her name? Hillary, when Hillary becomes president, and she is going to become president, because my theory is they're going to make marijuana legalization the number one platform. And the Republicans have been so square on that for so long that they painted themselves into a corner and haven't noticed that over 50% of the country in America thinks that marijuana should be legal or decriminalized. And they're going to do it, man. They're just going to steal your country out from under you. Although it was really stolen the minute it was minted, because, you know, all those guys that you like to praise, like George Washington and all of them and Jefferson, they owned people. They were not in liberty. They were slave owners. And they also broke their own rules as soon as they could. Like George Washington killed a bunch of vets, military vets that had served under him in the Revolutionary War. About 12 years later, because they didn't want to pay a tax on whiskey higher than the tax they'd fought that war over. And Jefferson, through some of his critics, you know, he helped write the First Amendment and put his name on the document. And then a few years later, threw some of his critics in jail for charging him for sedition, for criticizing him. So everything you read in history books is false, you know. Even the stuff in the history books tells the truth sometimes, like look up the Whiskey Rebellion. So yeah. All these people were horrible. All government is horrible. And if you are someone who says, I want government so small it can be drowned in a bathtub, but you should obey the law, and I like the police and the military. Like, there are so many contradictions in that small sentence right there that I can't even, it's hard to even begin with them. MK, you want to tackle some of them?
Yeah. Well, to your point about, you know, minarchists, I think everyone's a bit of a statist about one topic or another. You know, even ANCAPs, I've noticed, have maybe like their one pet cause that they're like, you know what, maybe I kind of would have an urge to, you know, use violence to enforce it on some level. But I don't have as much of a problem with the minarchists who maybe have put some time into it and some thought into their minarchism, who've, you know, really looked into other alternatives, who've studied anarchist philosophy and find themselves unconvinced by the arguments after giving it a fair shot. Those people, I can understand why. I can disagree with them philosophically, but I can understand why they've put thought into it. I don't abide well the people who just believe things blindly, who aren't even going to try to question it, who, you know, you try to explain why government is maybe not the best solution to their certain problem. And, you know, they just turn their ears off. They just, you know, put their hands over their ears and just yell at you or something like that. Or just whatever. That's not what Fox News says. That's not what MSNBC says. So I'm not going to listen. I really can't stand that. And I think that's who you see more of. But when people consider status, and when they use that term to describe status and that mindset, I think that's more of who we're talking about. I would say that would be the majority of people who would fall under that category. It's people who just, you know, they don't want to put a whole lot of thought into their political or philosophic beliefs, because it's easier to just listen to what someone else is saying and parrot that because it sounds good and it seems to convince a lot of other people of what they believe in. But yeah, if there hasn't been a lot of substantive thought put into it, then it makes me nervous. It makes me, you know, uncomfortable. And it's why we can't have nice things.
That's why we can't have nice things, dang it. Yeah. The minarchists that I really don't like, pretty much I don't really have a problem with minarchists at all if they're tending towards it being ANCAPs or voluntarists, because the saying I came up with, and this may end up being the title of the show, even though somebody wrote me, a fan of ours did SEO analysis on the whole site today and sent me like a 10-page report with pictures of kitties and worms, and I thought it was really cool. And one of the things he said was that my show titles are too, that I use are too long for good SEO. So, but I don't know, man. I like having long titles. So this may be the title of the show, but this is.
Yeah, there were a couple I kind of was wondering about.
Yeah, this may be the title of the show. It's, I have no problem with small government libertarians. They're just ANCAPs who haven't left the larval stage yet. And well, so that's the topic.
It is a long process. And it is similar to a larval stage. You have to do things. If you're a larva, you have to do things that you can't.
If you're a grub, a worm, yeah.
Yeah, that you cannot possibly rush. And many of those things are not intellectual arguments or some things that you have to, you know, I don't know, think over or read. They're just letting go. just letting go and accepting that there are no guarantees. That's a big one.
I think that when people are trying to talk to a minarchist or a statist and bring them to liberty, to true liberty, I think they should remember the image of the larval stage, you know, like a chrysalis of a butterfly. And like, you can't make a chrysalis turn into a butterfly by yelling at it. You know, it's not going to speed up the process.
Yeah.
And the minarchists I don't like, though, are the ones that have put a lot of thought into it and read a lot and come to the conclusion that the reason they're a minarchist instead of an ANCAP or a voluntarist is because they don't think it can work without some government. And I hate that on so many levels. One is they're basically saying some amount of violence and aggression, some amount of aggression, of organized aggression is needed and ethical. And it's not consistent. You know, if you're saying, well, you know, it's not ethical to have all this violence the government does to people all the time, so we just need less of it. You know, the joke I've heard is minarchists are people who say, and this applies to, like, you know, Republican type small government people too, is that government does things really bad, or government does things really poorly, so government should only do really important things. You know, that's kind of like, right, a lot of conservatives are like that. Yeah. I don't know. Let me finish this. The other thing is, I am basically of the conclusion that even if it can never work, I still have to be an absolute voluntarist. I can't say, oh, well, that won't work, so we need something. You know, I hate to use an analogy by that guy from Canada we don't like, but, you know, he said a few good things a bunch of years ago, and one of them was saying that you can't become an ANCAP because, and this is paraphrasing, but, you know, basically like saying that you can't give up the idea of rulers because it won't work yet is like saying, you know, in 1840, saying, well, we'd get rid of slavery, but how would we pick the cotton, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's all right to believe that maybe we're not going to get to this kind of perfect stateless state that a lot of people are working towards. I think it's okay to believe that maybe that's a far ways off, or maybe we're not going to get there, while still maintaining your own degree of ethics and your own principles and consistency internally, basically living the life that you want to see and that you'd like to see, you know, others living a free life and living on your own terms, you know, applying your principles to your personal life and maybe not trying to force it on others. You know, if this is supposed to be about leave me aloneism, then, you know, yelling in someone's face if they've heard the good word of Mises isn't really the best way to go about it. And I think a lot of what I've noticed with some libertarians when they talk to people is they assume people want to hear data and statistics and all these numbers. And you got to kind of appeal to the emotion, their compassion, not their emotion.
Yeah.
What they're passionate about, what they care about.
Show by example, too, I think. I think libertarians need to make more money so they can show that capitalism can work.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
I'm going to pass it off to our presenter, Hugo. Go ahead.
Los Freedom Fiends riéndonos mientras la sociedad colapsa.
I have no idea. Is that laughing, ustedes, Michael, is that laughing while Western civilization collapses?
Totally, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't speak Spanish, but I can sort of understand because a lot of the words are the same. And because I lived in L.A. and for 10 years and San Francisco for 16 years, it kind of like, it's kind of everywhere. Like it kind of sounds like bird song to me. You know, it's just like the way birds are everywhere. That's how Spanish was to me when I lived in California. So I don't know. So we're speaking of birds and creatures. We're talking about this concept that I have no problem with small government libertarians. They're just ANCAPs who haven't left the larval stage yet. And you could also say, probably more correctly, they're just voluntarists who haven't left the larval stage yet, because all ANCAPs are voluntarists, but not all voluntarists are ANCAPs. So please, people, discuss.
Yeah, so I guess I would probably fall into that category. I mean, category? I don't really identify as an anarcho-capitalist.
I like saying ANCAP just for the macho libertarian flash quality of it. Just
right,
it,
right.
Because it sounds well, anarcho-capitalism.
To both of those terms are strong, powerful, edgy terms.
They're the worst thing in the world. At least one of those words is the worst thing in the world to about 48% of the world.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and well, you can also be an anarchist in the way. You can also respect private property and be an anarchist or being a voluntarist, but choose to live another kind of life which you wouldn't call capitalism. You might be a hippie and just be out there producing your own food. That's not capitalism.
Or like gift economies or things like that. Yeah, I think there's a variety of ways the market would solve a lot of these problems that maybe aren't necessarily capitalistic in the traditional
sense. We like those guys. So. It's just that we want our telephones and our electricity and our, I don't know, plastic-wrapped meat, maybe.
I like the internet a lot.
I like the internet. Internet, good. I glommed on it.
Internet, good.
I glommed on it.
Keep me plugged in.
I was so ready for the internet when it came out, and I was almost a first adopter. I was like on, in 1991, I was at the San Francisco Library using text-based Gopher protocol, and I was on the web at a job at one of the, probably the first web cafe in the world in San Francisco in 1995, where I was a dishwasher at a steak restaurant that had internet access at each table. They failed, I think, because they didn't realize people wanted privacy. They had big screens up on the wall, like projection screens. You didn't have your monitor in front of you. It was on the wall for everyone to see. Didn't work.
And then I had
internet at home in mid 1996, and then I had dial up, and then I had DSL in late 96 at home, and I had a website in 96, and I had a domain in 97, and it's a domain I still have. So I was just waiting for the internet. Like I wanted to be able to communicate with the world since I could talk. You know, I always wanted to like get my thoughts out in the world. I was always into going to the library because I wanted to soak up as much information as possible. I was always trying to like write to people, you know, throw letters in bottles and throw them in the water and just try to get out there in the world. And the internet was like, man, I want this as soon as I got on it.
Yeah. And despite the regulation we see now, I mean, it's still where we're at with the internet is still very. Very much a result of not excessive government regulation of a large amount of freedom.
They're trying to clamp down now, but
over a longer period.
They're trying to clamp down, but I really feel like it's trying to close the barn door after the cows are left.
Yeah, right.
Hugo,
I remember the killer app for me was Wikipedia. The killer app for me was Wikipedia. I used to WikiHop all night long.
WikiHop. I've never heard that term.
Yeah.
Have you
going
heard
from
that?
Article to article.
Oh,
yeah.
I call it.
MK, have you heard that term though?
I don't think I've heard that term.
Is that a
Spanish
term?
I know exactly what you mean, though.
I'm not sure, but
I've never heard it.
Probably that's just how I call it. But
I call it falling down. I call it falling down falling down wormholes. But yeah, Wikipedia was not. I'd been on the internet a long time when I first saw it. I probably first saw it in the year 2002.
Probably yeah.
But I'd been on the internet for 5 or 6 years then, but. The first time I saw it, my friend Mike DeLuna, who actually used to be Mike Makes Right, he used to be a host on this show for about a month. He was my downstairs neighbor in LA, and he showed it to me, and I was like, that's interesting. And then I walked away. Like, I didn't get it. It also didn't have many articles back then, too. It wasn't the thing it is now.
No, not at all. But it was a success case for distributed. People doing editing.
I had a page on there for 5 years, and then it got taken down as non-notable. But a couple of my books and movies have pages on there.
Yeah. Well, that's...
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
For some reason, in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
State-based experiment in international cooperation. So, Hugo, we went to the Hugo NMK. We went to the break talking about Wikipedia, and I said that that I had my article on there was up for 5 years, and then it was deleted as non-notable. But there is an article on my movie $30 Film School, my movie Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And my movie, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, which have stood the test of time of people saying not notable and has been voted up as notable by enough people to stay. And it's kind of interesting, though, that a director of a notable movie, of two notable movies, and the author of a notable book is not notable. But I'm fine with that. I'm more about the things and the art than about me. And would rather the things be remembered than me, if only one of those things has to be remembered. And that's kind of my whole driving force with everything. But Hugo was saying during the break that there were two experiments in a Wikipedia-like thing before Wikipedia that failed. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yeah, that's right. There were two very similarly named. One was GNUpedia, and the other was NUpedia, as in GNU. And they were attempts to make an online encyclopedia similar to what the Britannica was doing, was getting experts to write articles about things they knew. So in the beginning, they were calling for experts, and you had to send your credentials. You had to send that you were proof that you were a PhD and proof that you were an expert in that field. Of course, it never took off.
PhDs don't work. Don't work for free. That's
no,
why
they don't. Yeah, you can sell them a labor of love in the things they like. They're too busy writing books about it and selling it to poor college students for hundreds of dollars. Yeah, so it never took off, and that's why Wikipedia is an experiment. And actually, the founder of Wikipedia
libertarian?
Hasn't he cited Hayek and F.A. Hayek as an inspiration, that he understood that spontaneous order is a thing?
Yeah, I think he's kind of like
he said
one of those TED crowd people. Like, basically, they're almost libertarians or almost anarcho-capitalists, but they still vote and usually vote Democrat.
Probably because they live in San Francisco and they're in the Valley.
Yeah, it's although the Valley probably has more Republicans than San Francisco, because the Valley has a lot of millionaires and, you know, at least for they tend to vote Republican because they like the tax cuts. But it's kind of getting to the point where, like, Republicans don't even give tax cuts anymore, you know, enable tax cuts anymore. They're basically just Democrats who are kind of more square in a lot of ways.
If they're doing the same things, it's probably a cool factor.
Yeah, everyone else is doing it.
I do love Wikipedia, though. It's I kind of blame it for maybe exacerbating my ADHD a little bit, or ADD. Because I used to just, like, read the encyclopedia and a whole article at a time, you know? And just like I would do it as a kid, I'd have like a project to research, and we had this big set of encyclopedias. So you pull it out, and then I would always kind of, I'd always get distracted reading other things. So I'd read articles on all of these other things and just the regular encyclopedia. And then I discovered Wikipedia, and I was like, this is just great. And I would just click through. What was the term you used earlier, Hugo?
Wiki hopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all over after that.
Wikipedia does not exacerbate my ADHD. It treats it. It really does. It's
it feeds that urge to just.
It feeds the urge in a non-destructive way. You know, I mean, what's the option? Like taking motors apart and putting them back together, or like, you know, cutting up lingerie and rearranging it on yourself.
I have a repository of useless information in my brain right now. So it's great for trivia. I mean, who knows?
I know more about the renal system than I'll ever have any reason to use. I know that.
Right. Yeah, that happens to me. You get to know about wars no one's ever heard about. And, you know, animals you didn't know even existed.
I know that Croatia...
It tends to take all that data.
I know that Croatia is one of the only countries in Europe that does not have an extradition treaty with America. I found that out
may
this
come
morning.
In handy.
I found that out this morning on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I found that out because I found out that my buddy Brian Micon, the poker guy who's interviewed me on his show twice and actually gave a donation to Fiendphone early on. He's one of the first donators. He got raided by the police and you guys hear about this? The guy from he runs a Bitcoin poker site and he lives in Nevada. And the Nevada Gaming Commission sent a bunch of goon squad over there to like raid him with a warrant, took all his computers, but didn't charge him with anything. Just, you know, harassment.
That's what they do now. They do asset seizure.
Yeah.
On the computers.
Yeah. And that's why I have a microphone and a computer cached offsite somewhere, literally at a friend's house. So if my stuff ever all gets taken, I can just go over there and put Fiendphone on it and do the show anyway. But Brian did a video this morning from Antigua, which he didn't like flee there in the middle of the night. Like he basically like had tickets to go there on vacation with his wife and his kid. But he was talking, he said that I'm from broadcasting from Antigua where there's no police state and he was implying that he was safe from America. And I was like, I'll bet they have an extradition treaty. And I just went to Wikipedia and found out. And I was like, who doesn't have one? And I started searching the name of countries where I know people. And Croatia was the only one that I know someone in that does not have an extradition treaty with the U.S. But Antigua has an extradition treaty and a U.S. Air Force base. And their highest mountain is named Mount Obama after Barack Obama. So I don't know if that's where I'd go for peace and freedom from America, but he happens to be there. So, yeah. Hope it works. I really do. I like that guy.
And we should all have our bug out studios.
I have a bug out studio. Basically, like, you know, this mic that we're all using, that MK and I are using, USB mic, and any computer and Fiendphone, and, you know, we could be on the air.
You have said that the mic and the podcasting studio is a new rifle, so that's what we take in case of an emergency for the revolution.
Yeah, I have a microphone and a netbook. Cached in a PVC tube. Actually, you know about the new Raspberry Pi coming out?
Yeah,
there's a new Raspberry Pi coming out that's like way more powerful than the other one. And Derek has one on order. And they're going to be able to run Windows 10. And if they can run Windows 10, they can run Fiendphone. So you probably could make a computer pretty soon small enough to put in a PVC tube with a microphone and bury it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd say the current Pis can record sound, but totally, if you can run Windows 10 and they are going to run Windows 10, you can just download Fiendphone.
Fiendphone? You said it twice. Fiendphone, you must really like it.
I love it, man. I do.
So let's talk more about this concept. Oh, I have a concept to talk about. I want to talk about privacy a little bit and how the internet has kind of changed the concept of it. And I know that this is a common idea for articles and discussions. I mean, like, you know, Time Magazine has probably had articles on this. But I realized the other day, like, there's nothing I've done in my life ever in my distant past or in any time that I wouldn't admit on the radio. But I'm really glad there's no video of most of it. And I'm really glad that I lived most of my life before everyone had a high-def video camera in their pocket that also had the means to share the video worldwide. I can't imagine how my life would be different and embarrassing. Even just like, you know, videos of me shooting drugs. Like, I was at a lot of parties where, you know, I used to do drugs and clean 20 years. It was ugly. You know, I wouldn't even myself want to see video of that, like trying to find a vein for 10 minutes, blood running down my leg, you know, my arm, wherever, my whatever. I'm really glad there's no video of that. And I would have totally let people film it. You know, I would have had no problem with that. And I used to have sex in rooms full of people and all sorts of things. So, but you two have pretty much had the internet your whole life, or at least, like, there's always been video cameras in people's pockets, right? For most of your adult life.
For a lot of it. I feel like I avoided a lot of my most embarrassing moments because it wasn't quite to that phase of where people were taking videos of everything and putting everything immediately on something like Facebook.
Yeah.
So there was still like some kind of hold. There was more holding back, at least.
It took more to share video back then too. Like there weren't really sites to do it on. There wasn't the bandwidth to do it. There wasn't the storage space to do it as much.
Mm-hmm. And I would go, I guess probably, yeah, more, my more embarrassing stuff happened at places like festivals where there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, cell phones being used in general, or, you know, not a lot of, you know, signal power.
Would you like to share some of the vague descriptions of the things that,
no.
Come on.
There's some embarrassing pictures out there, but I did have some really nasty dreadlocks at one point that were like, really
just there's probably
awful white girl dreadlocks.
Yeah, also they like some of the worst. Some of the poetry you may have read at open mic poetry slams.
Some of the poetry was really bad.
Yeah,
I used to write a lot of poetry, and
So Hugo,
not the best.
I feel old, man. I've never gotten used to it. Like, I have a cell phone with a video camera. I never use it. I never take pictures.
You were trying to tell me during the break, like, how to call you on the phone. And what did you say to use? Like, I'd never even heard of this technology.
There's a messaging app that's called Telegram. It's been all the rage recently. Because the founder of the it's a Russian millionaire and is an ANCAP. So he's built this messaging app that has encryption end-to-end. So it replaces texting, and it's worldwide. So it's called Telegram.
Okay.
Yeah, because one of the most famous ones all over the world is called WhatsApp, but it got bought by Facebook. So people were panicking over that.
I use Pigeon, but I don't know if Pigeon works on cell phones. But I don't have a smartphone. So, and then I was like, you know, you're trying to tell me how to do this if I needed to contact you on short notice if somebody canceled for the show. And I was like, I have free international calling, man. Just give me your phone number. I'll call you on my landline. Yeah.
All right, you can call me from the bunker.
Yeah, I'll call you from the bunker on the bat phone. All right, I'll be back with some people here doing stuff after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Thing too, if you're not defining your features.
Hey, listen to this drone. Listen to this drone outside my house. Listen to this. Wow. It passed. There was something drone-like over my house.
I heard a weird kind of humming.
It was really loud, and it sounded like a plane, but a lower pitch sound. It was weird.
Yeah, Dick Cheney's probably right.
Yeah,
on that
pissed. He probably is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm losing my voice. You guys are going to have to do the last segment mostly without me.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So plan what you're going to talk about, please. And it should have like a redemption in the third act kind of ending feel to
it. Redemption in the third act.
Yeah. Now, so I do have to point out something and make a correction. The BIPCOT No Government License, we were calling it open source. If you notice, we've changed the ads. It's not open source, technically. I was corrected on that. Why is that so, Hugo?
Well, open source is a real definition by real people, and they have
committees.
Placed certain restriction. Yeah, and they it restricts a certain group of people from using the software, or basically it tells them to accept some degree of shaming for using the software.
Yeah, ours does. Yeah,
and that's why a state is basically.
Yeah, so it restricts somebody, which you can't do in open source. But it restricts the state, and they really should be restricted. So we had to make a whole new license. So the source is open, and it is available and can be shared. Yeah, it's kind of weird, though, because like open source can mean different things, but there is an accepted meaning of it, meaning the source is open and you can share it freely with certain restrictions, but not people restrictions. So it's square. So you were talking during the break, Hugo, about how you like making audio better than video, and I think all three of us do. So why is that?
Yeah, we do. There's a couple of things. First, it's so much more comfortable. But even
I'm naked. I'm naked right now.
I am dressed, but
I'm not naked.
Not.
It's like 6 degrees out here.
I just assumed we were all naked.
I'm normally naked, but it's too cold to be naked here right now. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we are on our pajamas and in our pajamas and enjoying the evening.
Yeah,
and that would be a problem if we were doing video. We'd have to be, you know, all. I would have had to shave and all that.
I'll do video if I have to do video. Occasionally, I'll do video if someone wants to interview me and they only do video. I'll do it, but I mean, I don't dress up any different for it. But I just feel like there's more of a it needs more situational awareness. You know, like I could pick my nose when we're audio only. I don't have to think about it. I can scratch my butt.
I was just picking my nose.
I'm scratching my feet.
That's a really good point.
I'm
something
my
I've kind of noticed because I do like an interview show called Crypto Convos, and I've done other interview type shows. And when you're doing, especially if you're doing something live, like on Google Hangouts, you have to have that situational awareness and, you know, be really aware of what's going on around you and how the different apps are working with the program. That's something I'm still getting the hang of. I guest hosted the Bitcoin group last Friday, and I was still like not super smooth with some of the controls. And you're working with a lot of things, but you still have to keep engaged with the audience. So you still have to be looking into the webcam and engaging people. So they're not watching you looking at your screen, you know, doing stuff on the computer. That's boring. No one wants to see that, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be engaging, and it's a lot of balancing different things. And when you're focusing on audio only, I like it better. You can concentrate more on what you're trying to say and the points that you're trying to make, and also be researching at the same time, and it's not as distracting to the audience.
Yeah. I like how portable
the audio
is, too.
More important.
Yeah, it does. And I like how portable it is, too. Like, you can listen to audio while, you know, driving a bike or a car or skydiving, mm-hmm. or, you know, doing any number of things that wouldn't be safe to watch video. And it's also, the file sizes are so much smaller that people tend to actually like keep the media on their hard drive. Like, not many people. You can do video podcasts where you have an RSS feed and people download the video, but that's really rare. Have you guys ever seen that?
Yes,
I've seen it.
I have downloaded video podcasts, and they're very rare.
Yeah. There were more of them when podcasting started, like in 2006, when people. The market hadn't really figured out what it would accept yet. And, they didn't really catch on. And, nobody wants to download, you know, 500 meg hour long video when they could download a 50 meg hour long talk. And I like to try to make stuff that's going to be around in a while. That's why we put stuff up on the torrents. Are you torrenting the Freedom Fiends, Hugo?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
I got a computer in my office 24/7 doing the torrenting. So
thank you for your service. Yeah. That gets you on the golden floppy disk of redemption. Did you, MK, are you torrenting the Freedom Fiends?
I am not, actually.
What?
Does that make me a bad fiend?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. It makes you incomplete.
But I can learn, maybe that's the redemption.
Although, if you're, I don't think your laptop would be the best choice for it. I think it's best to have like a desktop somewhere. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. But people are torrenting, and they can go to the Freedom Fiend site and click on the Torrent Club link over on the right and learn how to do that. It's been a really cool show, MK and Hugo. Thanks for coming on with me here.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Say worms in Spanish, Hugo.
Lombrices.
Yes.
Lombrices.